Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Another week on the show. Basketball is here. IU in action again over the weekend. It was a win. It wasn't perfect by any means, but another victory for the Hoosiers. We learned more about the IU team. We did this Saturday in their game. And high school basketball, the girls are playing, and now the boys can officially begin practice today. We are weeks away from the start of games for the high school boys basketball season. Good news on Romeo Langford we're going to talk about. I'm sure most of you already know and have seen what I'm going to say, but he's back with the Boston Celtics. And if that's not enough, Indiana football, who had a bye week, you would think this would kind of be a slow week for football with all the excitement that has surrounded the program. But this past week, we heard that Michael Penix is out for the season. That announcement came sometime maybe middle of last week or so. And then last night, we find out Indiana's going to be ranked for the first time since the 1994 season, both in the AP and the coaches' poll. So big stuff for IU football, even though they were idle in a bye week over the weekend. And, of course, now they get back to it, and they do so in a very, very big way against Penn State. This is just a huge week. And a fun week. We've got basketball at all levels. We've got IU football and a huge matchup and a tough matchup on the road at Penn State, and just lots of good stuff going on. So let's jump right into the show today. The show lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up. We're going to cover a lot of the topics that I just mentioned: Romeo, IU basketball, IU football. We're going to talk about Floyd Central's big sectional football championship. We'll talk about some other notes as well in our opening segment. Also coming up here in just a few moments, we have our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week announcement. We do this each Monday on the program. It's presented by Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. And we've got a lot to choose from because football is winding down. Floyd Central had a good performance on Friday, to win. But we also have girls basketball ramping up. So we've got some of those performances to consider as well when we announce our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week coming up here in just a few moments, presented by Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with me. We'll talk IU football and IU basketball with Zach. We'll talk about Indiana being ranked in college football and what that means to the program for the first time since 1994. Talk a little Penn State, preview that game. Penn State lost over the weekend, their first loss of the season to Minnesota, which was a little surprising. We'll chat about that, and we'll get into some basketball stuff from the Saturday game against Portland State also when Zach is with us a little bit later in the program. And coming up later in the show, segment number three, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. He's with me Mondays as we talk all sorts of local sports headlines coming out of the weekend. Plenty to talk with Chad about, and we'll do that all coming up here in this hour today. That's the show lineup brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can go to Honey Baked Ham and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I also want to invite you to interact with the show, and I'm trying to do a better job actually getting your comments and questions on the air the same day that you send them to me. But there's a couple ways you can connect. Follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter, and we'll you can tweet me a question, you can DM me a question there. You can also follow the show on Facebook. We have a Facebook page by searching The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you can also send us a message there as well. We'll keep an eye on those throughout the show today. If you've got a question about IU football, basketball, something local, opportunity for you to get your question or comment read on the air in today's program. Let's get into our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. It's presented each Monday here on the show by Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Hometown pizza at its best. Their pizza is thin crust. It's made to order and sliced in squares. Serdano's Pizza is squarely the best. And we have a number of things to consider for Athlete of the Week. From football, girls basketball underway. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. And I looked hard at the Floyd Central sectional championship performance to find an athlete of the week from there. And really, it was such a team performance from Floyd Central that there isn't one player that necessarily stood out. It would be hard to recognize one above the other, given that Floyd Central won its first sectional championship in many years and now perhaps has a chance to win the regional. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a second. But we looked at girls basketball. There's a standout player in the area this year that we expected that would have some big performances. I'm not sure that anybody thought it would come as early in the season as it has, but Jeffersonville girls basketball senior Nan Garcia, who had a 37-point performance against North Harrison on Friday night. She's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Serdano's Pizza. Nan, 37 points on 10 of 14 shooting from the field, 12 of 13 at the free throw line, and she scored all of those points in 18 minutes as Jeffersonville cruised to an 80-41 win over North Harrison on Friday night. Jeffersonville's played three games. They beat Austin earlier in the week. Nan only had 5 points in that game. They beat, obviously, North Harrison behind 37 points from Nan on Friday night and then came back on Saturday and took on a very good Castle team. They were victorious there as well, and Nan had 21 points to lead her team in that game. So a big week for the senior. It was really cool. She committed to Penn State a few weeks ago. We had that decision live from William S. Johnson Arena here on the Hoosier Report to start our program that day with her teams there, girls basketball, softball teams, and some other students and folks at Jeff there for the live announcement. It was a really neat environment, and it's great to see her off to a good start. So congratulations to Nan Garcia of Jeffersonville. She's our first girls basketball Athlete of the Week winner this season, and the reason is 37 points Friday night against North Harrison, and she wins the award here opening up the girls basketball season. It's presented by Serdano's Pizza Parlor and Jeff. Great pizza here in Southern Indiana, and Nan will get a free 14-inch pizza from Serdano's in Sellersburg this week for her big performances last week and winning the Big X Award presented by Serdano's. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines brought to you by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. A number of things to get to today. I want to start with Romeo Langford. There's been a lot of unknown. There have been a lot of setbacks, a lot of injuries. And to be quite frank, because of those injuries, a lot of missed opportunities that most lottery picks are taking advantage of in the offseason, in the summer, in the preseason games, and in the early season, regular NBA season games as well, to find their role in the lineup. Romeo has not been able to do any of that. In fact, he was assigned to Maine of the G League, which had not played a game. They opened up their season Saturday night. So Saturday was Romeo's first full game on the court, and my goodness, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it. It was available online. It was a free thing to watch. 27 points in the game, 6 blocks, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Romeo looked back, looked like to me his old self, to be quite honest. I know it's the G League. Competition should be pretty good. There's two-way players now that go back and forth between G League teams and NBA teams. But still, a good run for Romeo on Saturday night. Should not only be a good run for him points-wise, performance-wise, but also just confidence-wise to be out there and to dominate a game in the way that he did. Now, in addition to his big performance, which is positive for Romeo, there was some bad news for Boston that same night. That's what that was, that Gordon Hayward, who's a Hoosier native from Brownsburg, has a what looks to be a fairly severe wrist injury. It's going to keep him out for a while. The last I've seen, they were evaluating whether he had to have surgery or not. And anytime you hear the word surgery and it's a hand and it's the NBA, you're going to be out for a long time. But with the good performance Romeo had, the confidence boost he got Saturday night, and the Hayward injury, Romeo was recalled sometime, 1 o'clock or so on Sunday afternoon to the Boston Celtics, and is expected to be available for their game tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. Now, one other thing. Let's hope that all of us Romeo fans here in the area that want to see him represent us very well, let's hope that he has a good start and gets some opportunities, and I think he will. I think he'll get some small minutes in upcoming games to kind of find his role and see if he can fill some of the minutes that are going to be opened up by Hayward not being in the lineup now. But I saw the injury report this morning, and I've just kind of become accustomed to looking at it because for so many days in the preseason and in the start of the NBA season, I saw Romeo Langford's name on there, whether it was because of his thumb back in the offseason or whether it was because of a knee sprain most recently or a groin tweak that happened also during the preseason. And I was looking today, and I thought, well, there's no way Romeo's name will be on the sick list today or the injured list today. And he's on there. He's listed as illness, but probable for tonight's game instead of being indefinitely out or anything like he has been listed. So Romeo can't catch a break. He's back in Boston. I don't know if he played sick on Saturday night or not with the main Red Claws, but he's expected to play tonight, expected to at least be available tonight for Boston, but he is battling an illness, a cold, whatever it might be right now, that's got him at least on the list of potentially not being able to be available. But again, he's listed as probable for Boston tonight. So good Romeo Langford news. It's great to finally have some positive news where he's actually been out on the court and actually been playing some minutes and actually been contributing. And now we'll see how that goes back with the Boston Celtics in the NBA. Got to talk IU football for a moment. Obviously, an off week you would expect to be a little slow, but with the news that Michael Penix is out for the season, again, second year in a row that he's had a season-ending injury, that kept us busy last week wondering how this Indiana team would move forward. And a lot of confidence in Peyton Ramsey and what he's done for the team this season as a backup that has come in and had to play full games and key games and second halves of games due to injuries and nicks that Penix has had. So I think that the confidence continues for this team, even though they've got a big challenge coming up at Penn State over the weekend. The other big note with IU football last night, again, Indiana didn't play. They were idle with a bye week, but they're now ranked in the Associated Press and the coaches poll. They're 7-2. They're now number 24 in the AP poll, number 25 in the coaches poll this week. Indiana's first national ranking in the Associated Press poll since the Hoosiers were ranked number 25. That came the week of September 20th, 1994. Bill Mallory would have been the coach at that time. In Indiana, it was early in the season, or much earlier than it is now. They were 3-0 on the year at that time when they rose into the Associated Press rankings. That ranking came following a 30-point win over Kentucky. That year, Indiana would go on to finish 7-4. Indiana was last ranked that same season in the coaches' poll in late October. They got to number 24 in that poll in that season of that 1994 season. So a long drought of national prominence or national top 25 rankings for this Indiana football team, but very deservedly so. Some other teams lose this weekend, even though Indiana didn't have the opportunity to add a win to its total this season. They jump into the top 25 of college football this week. And again, at Penn State, a noon game on Saturday, a huge game for Indiana. Obviously a tough environment. Penn State's a very good team, but it is interesting to note they fell 31-26 at Minnesota on Saturday. So this is a Penn State team that's vulnerable, an Indiana team that's been playing really well. Peyton Ramsey, I think even as the backup, you've got to have a lot of confidence in him and some of the moments that he's been in this season for the Indiana team. And so no question about it, a big one coming up for Indiana. Really, the rest of the way, they're all big. You've got Michigan at home. Is that a winnable game for Indiana? If they get some luck and play the right way, perhaps. And then, of course, at Purdue, that's a rivalry game. And even though Purdue's had all sorts of injuries and has not had a good season this year, you never know. It's one of those battle games that you can basically throw records and everything else out the window for. All right, IU basketball, I want to quickly talk about that. They were victorious, but probably not by the number of points you'd like to see this time of year against the level of competition that Indiana is playing. They were winners 85-74 over Portland State. And I didn't know what to expect. You really don't know what to expect with a lot of these November teams. Some are going to be better than others. Some have been projected to do better in their small to low-level D1 conference than others that Indiana's going to play. The one thing that was interesting about Portland State is that they are a known defensive-minded team that likes to press, that likes to get up and down, that likes to focus on stealing the basketball. And I wondered what type of challenge that would be for Indiana. And obviously it was a challenge that kept the game closer than what you'd like to see games in November against this level of competition. Al Durham and Justin Smith, once again, big performers for this Indiana team. Durham had 18 points, Justin Smith 16 points. And again, such good news, I think, for Justin Smith. The competition level maybe stepped up a little bit. He didn't have 24, 22 points. That's okay. He had 16 points. Still a very, very solid performance for him, a very big contributor to the team. Consistency is key. I've said that all along with Justin Smith. He can be a huge addition to this team if he can consistently help the team with points offensively this season. Also, Trace Jackson Davis had one of his best games of the season so far. 13 points, 10 rebounds. It was his first career double-double as well. So again, Indiana wins, probably not by the margin you'd like to see against a team like Portland State, but they move on to another November matchup as they continue to shake the lineup up, continue to get guys minutes, continue to experiment with different things, and of course, doing all of this without Devontae Green, who it looks like is going to miss some additional games coming up, at least another week or so. Pretty vague on how long he could be out was Archie Miller after the game, but it sounds like that hamstring continuing to bother him, and there's been no date or no promise that he's going to be back after the next game or so. So we'll have to see how that is moving forward. High school football, a quick note, Floyd Central, congratulations to them. Of the 8 football-playing schools we have in the area, Floyd Central, the only one to bring home a sectional championship on Friday night. They defeated rival Jeffersonville very handily. And now Floyd Central will take on Bloomington South. It'll be a great game, and it's a very even matchup. I think the Highlanders, if everyone's healthy and if they play as they have been, have a real opportunity to win the regional. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a good game against Bloomington South. I think Bloomington South now with their sectional championship over Castle on Friday night is at 7 wins on the season. Obviously, the Highlanders are at 9 wins on the year after the victory over Jeffersonville. But big year for Floyd Central football. A lot of these key players that we talk about and have covered all season long, they are back next year, which is really exciting for the Floyd Central team. One other headline, new Jeffersonville basketball coach Chris Moore. He's really trying to get out and meet the community and give the community an opportunity to get to know him, given how late in the school year, really, that he got the Jeffersonville coaching job. He is going to be out and about on Wednesday, November 13th, coming up from 8 in the morning until 9:15. So 8 to 9:15 a.m., you can meet him at Geraldine's Kitchen, located at 400 Wall Street in Jeffersonville. You can have a cup of coffee with Coach Moore, chat with him some hoops, chat with him about the Red Devils and some of their talented players for the upcoming season. And not only will Coach Moore do that on Wednesday, but he'll be back again on Wednesday, November 20th, to do that as well. So an opportunity to get to know Chris Moore, who will lead the Red Devils as head coach coming up this season. Those are the headlines brought to you by Zaxby's. We start the show each day with the top headlines in IU and Southern Indiana sports. Don't forget that Zaxby's does catering, party-size platters of your favorite appetizers, entrees, and sides. And speaking of Zaxby's, we're going to be out there on Thursday night for our tip-off show, our high school basketball media day. We're going to have all the high school basketball coaches and programs from across the area with us Thursday, starting at 6 o'clock. It's going to be essentially 2.5 hours or so of a marathon program to get you ready for the upcoming high school basketball season. On the boys' side, coaches, top players, we're going to cover all the storylines, all the teams on Thursday night. We hope you can join us at Zaxby's in New Albany for that live program. And if you can't, we'll have it right here on the Big X. And we'll also have it. A lot of people like to listen to the podcast as well. We'll have that available for you after the show Thursday night also. But again, 2.5 hours or so of high school basketball preview. We do it like nobody else in the area coming up on Thursday night out at Zaxby's with our high school basketball media day. I'm still in football season. Gotta get ready for hoops. All right, that wraps up the first segment. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us. We're going to talk IU football. Then we'll get to some IU basketball as well. Plenty to talk about from an IU perspective with Zach, and we'll do that next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. We always have Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us Mondays to start the week from an IU perspective. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about this week. The Hoosiers, football-wise, are coming off of a bye week, but they are now nationally ranked, something that hasn't happened since 1994 for this IU football program. Men's basketball in action again over the weekend. Their action is going to come fast and furious through the rest of November, really for the rest of the way now. Lots of games coming very quickly. Zach, let's start with football. How about the Hoosiers? They didn't play this week. They got some bad news that Michael Penix is going to be out for the rest of the season, which I don't think is killer news given how solid Peyton Ramsey has been for this team in some big situations already. And now, without playing a game, just by virtue of other teams losing and other results across the college football landscape, Indiana finds its way both into the AP poll and the coaches poll since the first time since October 1994. That is big stuff for this IU program.
Yeah, I think it's actually September for the AP poll. I think it's September 20th was the last time they were ranked, September of 94. And I mean, it was the longest streak by, I think, 13 years for a Power 5 team. I think Purdue now holds the longest unranked streak, so Indiana fans will probably kind of get to doubly enjoy it, I suppose. But, you know, I've heard a lot of debate about whether this Indiana team should be ranked. I used to be an AP voter, not in football, but in basketball. I'm not this year, but I have been in the past. I know Indiana hasn't maybe beaten anybody that would, you know, just cause you to sort of drop your jaw or raise your eyebrows. But what I tell people is there's plenty of times when you sit down to your ballot and, you know, somebody says, are you going to rank such and such team? And you look at them quickly and you say, yeah, probably not. You know, they got a nice record, but I don't know who they've played. Or maybe they've got some nice wins, but their record's not great. So, yeah, I probably won't rank them. And then you sit down to your ballot and you think, well, I can't really justify ranking this team or this team or this team or this team. You know, maybe I have to rank them. Maybe I should rank them. You know, at some point, teams just kind of move in on the, I guess, the strength, essentially, of what they've done that others haven't. And you could say, well, maybe somebody out there is, you know, 5-4 instead of 7-2, but they've played a much tougher schedule. Well, that's fine, but they're 5-4. And you can't – I'm not saying you can't fault Indiana for who they've played, because, of course, they scheduled at least some of these games. But Indiana's 4-2 in the Big Ten, and you have to respect that at some level. And you can't just keep, you know, docking them points simply because they haven't beaten a good team yet. And so, you know, from Indiana's perspective, I don't think the ranking means a ton. I think it's probably nice if you're Indiana to kind of use this season to knock off just as many of those sort of like first time since things as you can, so you don't have to continue, you know, seeing that stuff follow you around. It's probably good for recruiting. I think it's certainly good for momentum within the fan base. Another one obviously would be, you know, if they can win their bowl, it'll be the first time since 1991, you get to cross another one of those out. But I think that if nothing else, you know, the person who I think I've always heard talk the most since about rankings is Todd Yeagley, who's IU's soccer coach. And obviously he's very familiar with having teams that are ranked at or near the top of the country. And he said, you never want to ignore, he said anyway, that he never likes to ignore rankings because rankings should be allowed to be used as a validation for how hard kids have worked. And they should be a reminder to kids that, you know, this is what you can achieve when you really commit yourselves, you know, kind of together to the common goal. By the same token, rankings they are not performative. You don't win based on your rankings, and the minute you think you do is the minute you lose that ranking. And I think that if Indiana, you know, this is an Indiana team that kind of all at once, to its credit, has learned how to handle a lot of success this season. That was one of Kevin Wilson's big criticisms, even in his best years at Indiana, of his program, was the feeling that he just thought you give, you know, some people around the program a little bit of success, and all of a sudden they get way too satisfied too quickly. This team hasn't done that yet, and you would therefore imagine that getting a ranking won't have a ton of impact in that respect, other than for maybe, you know, this team to be allowed to say to itself in a new and different way, you know, we've earned this. Look at what our hard work has done. Let's just keep going.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us, starting off today with IU football. Another IU football question or topic for you. I do want to talk about the Hoosiers' next opponent coming up on Saturday. It's I believe a noon game against Penn State, and obviously it's a game on the road at Penn State. And it's against an 8-1 Penn State team who was perfect until they fell 31-26 to Minnesota this past Saturday. Your thoughts on not only Penn State, Indiana's next opponent, but Penn State, who's coming off a loss to Minnesota this past weekend?
Yeah, I actually did watch a fair bit of that game. It was on in the press room at Assembly Hall, and, you know, we kind of were keeping an eye on it. I mean, it's not that we aren't all covering the IU basketball game, but, you know, this time of year, you're also allowed to kind of, you know, keep an eye on other scores and things because IU's playing the Portland States and the North Alabamas of the world. I was surprised, frankly, and listen, we may get to the end of the season and it turns out that all of us everywhere just really, really underestimated Minnesota, and that's possible. I fully acknowledge that. You know, I'll cop for that if I'm one of those people. But I thought coming into this season, and not much had been done to kind of disabuse me of this notion, that Penn State had one of the elite defenses in the country, certainly at least in the Big Ten, and I was very surprised to see it get cut apart so readily, frankly, so easily, so consistently by a team that probably uses some fairly similar concepts in the past game to what Indiana does. And I was also surprised at how much Sean Clifford struggled. And you know, I think it's always going to be up for debate, frankly, how much you can kind of transpose a performance like that onto, you know, are you going to get an angry Penn State team next weekend? Are you going to get a wounded Penn State team? Are you going to get a Penn State team that's down on confidence? You know, are you going to get a Penn State team that's looking ahead to Ohio State? You have no idea. You know, you just don't know what the result itself is going to do to Penn State in advance of the way it plays Indiana. And I don't think you can really count on Sean Clifford to be that poor 2 weeks in a row, certainly not when he's playing at home. But it did surprise me. I didn't think Penn State was a genuine playoff contender, but I did think them better than Minnesota. And to see them, and I know they kind of come back in the second half, but you don't really feel like they ever had control of the game, at least as much as I saw of it. To see them come back, to see them just struggle the way that they did, I think, if nothing else, should give Indiana some new ideas on how to attack that team, you know, this weekend.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, I saw that at some point over the weekend, after college football had come to a close basically for the weekend, you tweeted out some Big Ten bowl projections. And starting with Indiana, tell us a little bit about how you see potentially, I know there's still a lot of regular season football to be played, but how potentially you see this shaking down, not just for the Hoosiers, but for some of the other Big Ten teams as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to say there is to kind of caveat it with you need to recognize that there's still a full third of the season to play for most of these teams. I mean, Indiana still has three games left. That is, or not third, quarter. That's literally a quarter of the games. I mean, you know, if we were sitting here talking about the NCAA tournament, Indiana's chances at the NCAA tournament in basketball, at the same point in the basketball season, we'd be talking, you and I, at about 23 or 24 games played. There'd still be eight games left to play. So that's where the football season's at. So we're essentially kind of talking about the NCAA tournament in early February when we're talking about bowl projections for Indiana and the Big Ten right now. That was just a stab at it. I've studied it a lot over the last few years, enough to feel at least kind of comfortable trying to lay some things out. And I don't know if I'll do it every single week, but I think everybody can recognize that the playoff, that Ohio State is probably bound for the playoff, that Ohio State is that kind of team, is that good. You know, at this point, with the kind of the direction of travel of everybody's season, and especially with Minnesota beating Penn State, you would imagine that if there is a, and there will be, another Big Ten team in the New Year's Six, it'll be one of those two teams. I think you feel a lot more confident about the possibility, for example, of Minnesota beating Wisconsin now. And Penn State, it's worth pointing out, still has, you know, beat Ohio State, go to the Big Ten championship game. You know, your fate is still very much in your own hands. I think, and I'm not positive about this, but I think that the Outback can't take Wisconsin or Michigan this year because it's taken them in the recent past. So that would leave the Outback open for Indiana, Minnesota, or Penn State. That would push Wisconsin into the citrus pretty comfortably. And then when you get down kind of to the bottom end of the bowl tier, you know, what I've said before, and I think I've said this to you, there's going to be somebody in the league that may wind up at 8-4 and playing in a bowl that they feel is kind of beneath their record, because you do the soft bottom of the Big Ten has handed a lot of teams the opportunity to get to 8-4 or 9-3. So then you kind of get into a situation where you might be asking, if nothing else, who hasn't been to whatever bowls. So like, I see a lot of Indiana in the Red Box Bowl in national projections. Indiana played there the last time it went bowling 3 years ago. I really do not believe that Indiana would get sent back to Santa Clara, you know, except under basically no other option, break glass in case of emergency circumstances. I would have pegged Michigan State for the Pinstripe Bowl, but then they blew that lead and lost to Illinois last weekend. Illinois, I think, still has Northwestern, so you'd like Illinois to probably finish 7-5, and if nothing else, Illinois at this point is fairly going to finish ahead of Michigan State in the pecking order. Illinois hasn't been to the Pinstripe Bowl. You send them there. I think the curiosity is what they do with the Holiday Bowl, the Gator Bowl, the Red Box Bowl. Where do Indiana, Michigan, and Iowa all kind of fall in that realm? You know, could Iowa sneak into the Holiday Bowl? Well, in that situation, you may have to send Indiana to the Red Box Bowl, because you'd probably have to send Michigan to the Gator Bowl. But if you sent Iowa to the Red Box Bowl, which at this point feels just sort of like almost a tax that everybody in the Big Ten has to pay, it's not a good bowl game to go to from a Big Ten perspective. It's far away. It's expensive to get there. The stadium is nowhere near San Francisco. So you either stay near the stadium and don't get to go to San Francisco, or you stay in San Francisco and have to deal with trying to get out to the stadium on game day. You're playing against like the Pac-12 number 3 or number 4, so you're guaranteed a tough matchup no matter what circumstances you're kind of dealing in. If you sent Michigan to the Holiday, you could send IU to the Gator, and you may have to ask Iowa to basically sort of swallow the Red Box. And then Michigan State, I think at this point, you'd still back them to get bowl eligible. They still got, I think, Maryland and Rutgers both. But you'd also look at it and you'd say, you know, 6-6, even 7-5. Michigan State not being able to jump Illinois probably winds up in the Quick Lane Bowl. And again, you say all of this recognizing that these things take a long time to shake out, and I don't think anyone will be able to say anything definitive until, I think I've said this before too, the Sunday after the second to last weekend of the season, because that's when you'll have a firmer sense of kind of where everybody's going to finish from a record perspective. And that's probably also the point at which you'll start to get a firmer sort of sense of you know, which bowls are talking to who, if that makes sense. You know, it'll start to get out in a much more concrete way, who's in touch with whom, who's trying to set up what matchups, what's appealing to different people and different bowl committees and things like that. Right now there's just a lot of sort of looking at records, looking at standings, and trying to assign teams based on numbers. But that's my best guess for how things shake out.
Good stuff, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Let's talk some hoops. The basketball team in action over the weekend, and we've said two things consistently, whether it's been you with me on Mondays or another IU expert, as we call them, the rest of the week, each day on the show. In November, Indiana needs to do two things. A, they need to win the games, hopefully by a big margin, to show that they can take care of lower-level, mid-level Division I teams. And B, this is an opportunity to experiment with the lineup. This is an opportunity for guys to get more comfortable in new roles, even returning players from last season. And I think that B continued to happen on Saturday against Portland State, although Indiana, the final score, the margin, the game was probably a lot closer than what Archie Miller and the coaches would have liked to have seen. It was, I think, an 11-point victory when it was all said and done on Saturday. And Portland State, a team that really gets after it on defense and really likes to pressure and press. I'm curious your thoughts on the Hoosiers as we continue this November tour of mid-low major Division I basketball teams and this Indiana team with a lot of puzzle pieces still trying to be placed in the right areas.
Yeah, I mean, I did not think it was a particularly good performance from Indiana's perspective. You'll forgive me. I'm dropping off my wife's lunch as we speak here. She left it at home.
Good husband.
This morning. Well, I don't know about that, but I try anyway. I don't think it was a very good performance, and I think you could see that reflected in Archie Miller's comments post-game. I think that there's always – first of all, I think Archie Miller has kind of proven that he's somebody who doesn't get too high or too low. You know, he's not a guy who's going to go into a press conference and breathe fire and be angry, and whatever he says behind the scenes, that's not going to be reflected in kind of his public pronouncements very often. I also think he probably recognizes from his position right now that he is dealing with a team that's kind of that needs the carrot and the stick, if that makes any sense, that needs at times to really kind of be pushed and demanded and you know, I don't want to say yelled at, but really kind of, you know, kind of coached really tough. And then there's also probably going to be times when this team needs a little bit of a softer hand. And I think that Archie, you saw maybe a little bit of both of those things from Archie Miller on Saturday afternoon after the Portland State game, you know, saying there were a lot of positives in the game, also saying if Indiana defends like that at any point once the schedule gets tougher, like, it's going to be a really bad deal. It's going to be a really bad time for Indiana. I don't think anybody would deny that. Portland State averaged 1.1 points per possession, and it was never an uncomfortable game from Indiana's perspective. I think Indiana was in control of the game pretty much throughout. But it wasn't a game where you ever had that moment where you felt like Indiana did what it did against Western Illinois, where there was kind of this discernible turning of the screw where Indiana said, like, we're, you know, here's where we ratchet our defensive intensity up 5% and you can't live with us anymore. They were never able to do that to Portland State. Some of that's probably to Portland State's credit, but I think some of it's also just Indiana never kind of dug its heels in and executed the two or three, like, real fundamentals that it needed to be able to kind of put that game away in sort of an assertive manner, I guess. But the flip side to that is I think you continue to see good development from Justin Smith and Al Durham. You saw more minutes from Rob Finnessy. I wrote about him after the game. I think you see how important he's going to be to this team long term. And the other thing Archie Miller said, he said they came into that game knowing that the two big keys were hitting the glass against Portland State, the team that's a little bit undersized but had some athletes in the wing and forward positions, and not turning the ball over. And Indiana, I think, is plus 17 on the boards, only turns the ball over 10 or 11 times. So if you're Archie Miller, you're allowed to come out of it and say, the things that we told you were keys, you did really well. We just need to continue to work on this defense because it can be really good, but it's not right now, and we need to make sure that changes soon.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays. Great way to open the week. Lots of IU football interest right now as this team comes off a bye week into the Penn State game on Saturday. And, of course, IU basketball back at it with a November matchup here very soon. Zach, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week and look forward to talking both sports again with you then.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. We will head to a commercial break. Don't forget you're listening to the Hoosier Report. It's presented each day by CC Power Sports. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas, and at CC Power Sports, they're helping to make that dream easier with the free Christmas layaway and storage of the bike now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can visit ccpowersports.com for more information on that Christmas special. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with a lot more, including a chat with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member representing Southern Indiana. Basketball is here, and you can bet that Chad and I are going to talk some hoops today in his segment on the show. We'll head to a break. Back with Chad Gilbert after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment of the program is Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown High School's athletic director. He also is an IHSAA executive board member representing our area, and he joins me Mondays as we talk through a lot of local sports headlines. And, Chad, this is a great time of year. There's plenty of stuff to get to. This is the first day, the first official day of practices for boys basketball teams. The girls' game started last week. Boys practices this week. We're a couple weeks away from the start of games, and there are some really good ones to start the season. Basketball season is here. Today's the day across Southern Indiana, across the entire state, when players really begin focusing in, coaches really begin working toward putting in the offenses and defenses for those first upcoming games. Exciting time across our state with all the great players we have, especially right here in Southern Indiana.
It is an exciting time, Matt, and we are spoiled in Southern Indiana. We have great players. There's great schedules coming on, great coaches, and a lot of hard work has gone into this. This hasn't been easy for anybody. There's been sacrifices from the players. There's been sacrifices, coaches, sacrifices for parents, athletic directors, you know, to secure venues. So it's kind of that last deep breath in before you get into the thick of things. And you think about it, how much the game in Indiana high school basketball has changed in the last 20 years. You know, I can remember when people would get the balls and they'd say, hey, you got the balls all cleaned up. You know, Kratz used to sell a ball cleaner where you clean the balls. Now, you don't clean balls. They're not leather balls anymore. They're composite leather, wide channel balls that, you know, when they're done, they're wore out, and you get a new ball and have it on that rack. And my point is, you know, right then, that first day of practice, as you had that excitement, everything built up. I wonder who's going to be on the varsity. I wonder who's going to be on the JV. I wonder who's going to be on the freshman team. I wonder how this is going to be. These are tryouts. You know, we got 3 days of tryouts. I'll know whether I made the team in 3 days. Fast forward to 20 years later, there's not a coach in the state who doesn't know his team from varsity to JV to freshman. You've had limited contact. You've had all summer for kids to get their spot, their pecking order. And that's that opportunity that those players have had to be out in front of their coach and to show them, hey, you know, I deserve to be on the freshman team. I deserve to get a uniform. I deserve to be on JV, whatever they're fighting for. These kids have had that opportunity to say, coach, I want to do whatever's best to win. And coming in these 2 days as a coach, the two hardest days are the first day of practice and the last game, because there's kids that coaches are going to have to cut. That kids don't have a clue, parents might not have a clue that they're going to get cut today, that have been coming to your camp since they're 8 years old. You know, there's kids that you've got to break that news to, is, hey, you can be on the team, but you're not going to be able to play. You know, it's going to be hard for you to contribute on this. Or you thought you were ready as a freshman to be on the varsity. Now you're going to be on the JV. Now, there's going to be some disheartening news that coaches have to give out to players, and that is tough. You know, even if a kid has no business being on a team as a coach, you don't want to cut kids. You do not want to make kids feel bad. You want kids to be part of something special. You want kids to have a memorable experience in part of your program. So that's one of the hardest days of being a coach. The second hardest is your last game, because once you pick this team, you're going to battle for the next, you know, 4.5 months. You're going at it every single day. You're trusting each other. You're developing that respect with each other, and you're developing roles that each of you, the players and the coaches, are sacrificing their individual goals in order to do what's best for the team. And that's something, you know, that as a coach, it's hard to do, but it's something I think that you've got to communicate and able to get through it. And that's not even counting, Matt, the administrative stuff, whether kids are eligibility, the fundraisers, the parent meetings, your rosters, your transportation schedules. And all that I can say to coaches, to parents, and to players is enjoy it. You know, you only get 4 years to wear that high school uniform. Take a deep breath, take a step back, and enjoy this journey that you're going to go on the next 4.5 months and be part of something special. You know, Matt, I've been blessed. I've had lots of great coaches, lots of great teammates, lots of great players, received lots of accolades. The best accolades I've ever had is I've been 14 weddings, 5 best men, and they were all through basketball somehow, being part of that team. And I think that's what you've got to go in this looking at, is the relationships, the fun you're going to have, and the trust that you build with each other to have a successful season.
Chad, you talk about tryouts, and I was a little late to see this, but I hear stories at New Albany and Jeff specifically from coaches or former coaches that talk about having 60, 70, 80 kids in the gym on this first day of practices, when you could open it up, when there was no such thing as summer time together with your high school team, and when there weren't as many organized opportunities in the off season to kind of gauge and know, and definitely weren't preseason practices and open gyms. Can you imagine walking into Johnson Arena or the Doghouse or any gym across the area today with 60, 70, 80 young men in there? Some you knew from last season, some were maybe newcomers, some maybe moving up from the middle school level to high school, but can you imagine having to see through all of that in the first day or two and having to pick a team without the opportunities to see and get to know and experience relationships and see kids on the floors in different roles that we currently are able to in today's age of high school basketball?
You know, that would be tough, just picking people out, just coming in, you know, out of the hallways. And that was one thing that people say, well, you know, there's more talent walking through the hallways in Jeff and New Albany than there are on the court. Well, that's not true. I was at Jeff for 13 years and watched the girls' team, watched the boys' program, and they had the best players out on the court. You know, there's a big difference in playing basketball in the lunchroom and then when the lights are on 7:30 in front of 3,000 fans. And they had the best people out there. The concern I have coming forward is, you know, with so many kids who decide not to play just because they're not on the elite team, they're not on the travel team with Johnny, or they get cut in the fourth grade and the fifth grade team, they say, I'm not going to play anymore. You know, again, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, keep practicing. Keep putting your best foot forward, you know, because you don't know who's going to be. You know, if a guy's got a mustache in the sixth grade, he's probably not going to grow much more. So, you know, that guy may score 20 a game, but he might not be around when high school comes around. He may be playing a different sport. And you may have been 5 foot tall, and when you're a senior, you're 6'11". You don't know how that stuff's going to play out. So put yourself in a position to be ready if the opportunity is given to you.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member. This is a change, and it's hard to think this far ahead right now because the season is just starting. But I read Kyle Neddenrip's story in the Indianapolis Star over the weekend that the All-Star Games, because of some renovations at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, will now be played at least for 2 years at Southport High School. So good deal. Looks like Southport going to donate their wonderful, wonderful high school facility to the All-Star for their usage when they play Kentucky over the next couple summers, which is great. But a little bit of a buzzkill, because that has been a special place. The Kentucky side has still used high school and small college gyms that are allowed. But Indiana side has done it right at Bankers Life. I know there's nothing they can do to control the off-season renovations at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, but that'll definitely be different to see the games be at Southport High School as opposed to an NBA arena.
Well, you know, what can Bankers Life do to make that place any more special? You know, the renovations are going to be awesome. It'll be great to get back there. But, you know, those guys in charge, with Mike Broughton in charge, Southport High School has excellent history. Pat Mapes, their superintendent, he's a basketball guy. They're going to have a great venue for that. There's going to be a lot of excitement with it. They'll have flair. They'll have pride. They'll have memorabilia. They'll have stuff that the kids, the fans, and the players are going to be able to remember. You know, and we need to get the All-Star game back to the day. I can remember watching Pat Graham and Allen Houston going at it. Me and my dad going to the Blue Boar Cafeteria, Matt, watching, eating before the game, going to watch the game at Freedom Hall in front of 15,000 fans. We need to get this rivalry back up again, get more excitement with it, and hopefully this will create some excitement playing at Southport High School.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, our guest. Chad, thanks for the chat. Enjoy the start of the season. We'll talk more about it next week.
Appreciate the run, Matt. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Absolutely. That's going to wrap things up. Back with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.